Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Stedman, the author of the acclaimed autobiography Faithiest, How an Atheist Found Common Ground with the Religious, will be speaking on Sunday, May 11th, this Sunday, and the meeting of the Capital District Humanist Society in Albany. His topic will be, Can Atheists and Theists Coexist Peacefully? It is a great pleasure to welcome Chris Stedman back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Very nice having you on the program once again. Tell us how you define faithiest.
Sure. Well, the term faithiest is actually one of a few different words that are used by some atheists to describe other atheists who are seen as overly accommodating of religion or perhaps too warm toward people of faith. So it's a derogatory term, but it's a term that I actually decided to reclaim because my definition of faithiest is an atheist who prioritizes the pursuit of common ground, who desires finding ways to identify areas of shared concern with people of faith and trying to build coalitions across lines of religious difference in order to work together to address human problems and also in order to break down some of the stigmas that often keep atheists and theists from knowing one another better.
So with that, as the title suggests, you are talking about common ground. So for you, where does that common ground lie?
Sure. Well, the way that I often think about it is that as an atheist, if I take seriously my conviction that it is very unlikely that any divine or supernatural forces are going to intervene in human affairs and solve our problems for us, then that means that taking that commitment seriously leads me to try to work to identify areas of shared concern with people of faith. Because if I truly believe that no divine or supernatural forces are going to fix our problems, that really means it's up to human beings. And I certainly can't fix those problems alone. And neither can atheists fix those problems simply by working with other atheists. We have to find ways to not only live alongside people who hold different views than we do, but to actually engage with those people, figure out what are the things that we care about, what are the things that matter, what are the human solutions to our problems, and how can we work together toward advancing justice and human dignity. So to me, it actually is an outgrowth of my atheism. For me, it's part of what it means to be an atheist, is a person who wants to try to understand other people and to work to address human problems.
You have an MA degree in religion, study theology at the University of Chicago. So what is your faith background, and when did you label yourself an atheist?
Sure. Well, I grew up non-religious, actually. I would say that the most accurate way to describe my family of origin is that we were irreligious. We never really talked about religion much. We didn't call ourselves atheists, but for all intents and purposes, we didn't believe in God. We didn't appeal to any divine or supernatural forces. But when I was around 11 years old, I had a conversion experience and became a born-again Christian after I was invited to an after-school youth group by some friends. That conversion coincided with a couple of things that were happening in my life. The first is that my parents were separating, and, you know, because we didn't go to church or any other house of worship as children, my family really was my community. So I was looking for stability and a place to a welcoming community, a place to belong. And the other thing that was happening is that I had been reading books like Roots, Hiroshima, The Diary of Anne Frank. These were works that not only increased my awareness of the fact that I lived in a world where people could treat one another in such incredibly dehumanizing ways, but they told the stories of what it was like for people who experienced those things in a way that filled me with questions about justice and purpose. And I was looking for a place to unpack those questions. And this community really offered me both of these things. And so it seemed like it was kind of a perfect fit. However, I realized very quickly that it was not quite as welcoming as it seemed. It was a very theologically conservative Christian community that was, I would say, obsessed with sexuality. They talked about homosexuality in sermons, in the Bible study group. The library was full of resources saying that homosexuality was at best a sign of youthful waywardness or rebelliousness, and at worst, a sign of demonic possession. And this was incredibly scary to me as someone who was realizing that I was gay. So I struggled with this recognition for some time and eventually moved into progressive Christian communities after my mother found a prayer journal I was keeping where I detailed the struggle. And I actually had very positive experiences in Christian churches throughout high school and found a welcoming, safe space there. So I decided I wanted to go to college to study religion, thinking perhaps that I might even go into the ministry to help people through challenges in their lives, just as the progressive Christian ministers helped me during challenges in mine in high school. But it was in college where I was really challenged by my Christian professors to think critically about what it was that I believed and why I believed it. And it was through that process that I began to realize that I had converted to Christianity not because I thought that the metaphysical claims of Christianity were necessarily true, but rather because I was looking for a community and a space to talk about these really big questions that we all have about what it means to be a human being and what it means to live in a world so full of injustice and cruelty. And that for me, those desires were actually somewhat disconnected from a lot of the claims of Christianity. And so I began to really question what I believed and eventually realized that I was, in fact, an atheist. But it was that realization that really sort of put me on the path to the work that I do today, because I started to realize after years of being an atheist and really struggling to have constructive conversations with people of faith that my approach to difference was really focused on differences rather than on trying to uncover similarities. And I began to realize not only is community vitally important for atheists, agnostics, and humanists such as myself, but that being a part of a community of like-minded people also requires you to find ways to talk to people outside of those communities in ways that increase our understanding of our likeness, of our shared humanity, rather than simply focusing on what our differences are.
I mean, you'll be talking to one such group on Sunday, but do you feel that there is an atheist community in the sense you were seeking that community? Do you feel that you have found that?
Yeah, I think there is. You know, when I first started exploring atheist community, I felt as if there was I encountered a lot of focus on anti-religious activism or on the separation of on activism for the separation of church and state, the latter of which I think is incredibly important. But what I didn't encounter nearly as much was an emphasis on building up a vibrant, strong identity as atheists and humanists that focused on the things that we do believe, the values that we do have. And I think that having community that gives people a space to think about those questions, to be in conversation with people like themselves, to reflect on what their values are, can really help contribute to the sort of growth of atheist community resources. And this is something that I think is really important because there's a really thoughtful book called American Grace by Robert Putnam and David Campbell. Mm-hmm. One of their findings is that religious Americans overall are much more civically engaged than the non-religious. So they give more money to charity, they vote more, they're more likely to run for political office, they volunteer more. In the words of Putnam and Campbell, religious Americans are better neighbors. But they also found that a non-believing spouse of a religious person who was involved in their partner's religious community was just as likely to be civically engaged. And so they say that the correlation between religiosity and civic engagement in the U.S. has more to do with belonging than it has to do with belief. And they said that moral communities for non-religious people could serve a similar function in equipping and inspiring non-religious people to be more active in the public square. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think that this kind of dialogue that I want to promote between atheists and religious people isn't possible without more community resources for atheists, agnostics, and humanists. And that's why my work today is focused on both promoting that dialogue and building up communities for atheists, agnostics, and the non-religious, where we can have our own resources and then also be in conversation and be in the public square alongside religious people in order to challenge a lot of the negative stereotypes and misconceptions that people have about non-theists.
I asked the question because it was a follow-up to something that you brought up in an earlier answer, and also because of the journey of looking for a community and acceptance. But do you think if you were straight, do you think if you were not dealing with your sexuality at that point, that your religious thought would be more defined?
You know, it's really hard for me to answer that hypothetical because I really don't know. But I do think of my sexual orientation as a kind of a, you know, it's something that I'm grateful for in that way because it sort of cracked open my thinking about religion in a way that I'm just not sure would have necessarily happened, or at least wouldn't have happened in the same way, had I not had to really question what I believed and who I was. And it certainly was a really challenging period of my life, but I think it also helped me just think more critically in general. It taught me to not just accept the things that I was told by people in positions of authority, but rather to really question everything and to decide for myself what it was that I believed and to try to learn as much as I possibly could and make informed decisions. And, you know, that is certainly not something that is exclusive to LGBT people. It's certainly not something that's exclusive to atheists. Some of the best critical thinkers that I know happen to be people of faith. But that was a part of my journey in particular. It was a sort of key moment in my learning how to question what I was told and seek out my own understanding of myself, that even if it had consequences, even if it meant that I had to step outside of the communities that I was a part of.
The topic of your talk on Sunday will be, can atheists and theists coexist peacefully? So as we wrap up, what do you think step number one is for those who believe and those who are atheists to come together? What is step one in that?
Well, I think it looks different in every scenario, but one of the things that I've found to be incredibly effective is the sharing of personal stories, which is a big part of why I wrote Faithiest as a memoir, is because I think that storytelling is a great way to begin to humanize religious differences and break down some of the barriers that exist between different communities, because sharing stories enables us to recognize our shared humanity. It enables us to see commonalities in our experiences, even if they seem radically different. It enables us to see one another as human beings. It takes the conversation about religious differences out of the theoretical and puts it it grounds it in the interpersonal, in relationship. And just as the LGBT community has made incredible progress over the last 10 years by building relationships outside of the community, I think that these kinds of relationships where people have an opportunity to meet one another, get to know one another, become friends, and work together on common goals through service to humanity, I think that that's a really ideal forum to begin challenging some of the assumptions that both sides, both atheists and theists, have about the other.
Chris Stedman is the author of the book Faithiest: How an Atheist Found Common Ground with the Religious. He'll be speaking on Sunday, May 11th, at the meeting of the Capital District Humanist Society in Albany. His topic will be, can atheists and theists coexist peacefully? You can find out more information on our website at wamc.org, wamc.org/roundtable. Chris Stedman, thank you very much for being with us, and we look forward to having you in town.
Thank you very much. I look forward to being there.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Chris Stedman, author of Faithiest, How an Atheist Found Common Ground with the Religious. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.